I'm Drummer Jesse on Radio 990 with the Afternoon Edition, a wrap-up on a Friday, the Friday before a long weekend for most people. Now, over the past month or so that I have been in Winnipeg as a guest in your fair city, I have been living with Matt. Now, first of all, on the drive down from Whitehorse to Winnipeg, there were the highway maps, there were maps of Edmonton and Saskatoon and Dauphin where I was visiting, and I have had a map of Winnipeg glued to my hand for the rest of the month. Hasn't always been enough, though. I'm a person you may have seen doing newies on major urban arteries. Now, there is help out there for those of us with map reading issues, and it's help not in the form of some dreary workshop. For the next opportunity, show up tomorrow afternoon in fresh air and wide open spaces of the fort. Don Rowe will be the man to see there. Right now, he's in the studio with me. Hi, Don.
Hi.
What will you be doing down at the fort tomorrow?
Well, we're having a canoe orienteering race. I guess you could call it a race. It's basically for anybody that wants to come out and enjoy the weather and get in the canoe and orienteer at the same time.
I've heard of orienteering, but I have never heard of canoe orienteering. What is that?
Well, it's like orienteering, except that being able, rather than go in four different directions, north, east, south, or west, you can either go upstream or downstream. But there we'll put the controls on riverbanks, and you can canoe to them and get them that way.
What are controls?
Controls are, in orienteering, we use orange and white nylon sort of square markers, I guess, that you use for checkpoints, and hanging down from them is a little punch, and if you get, when you get to the control, you can punch a card that you have with you to prove that you've gotten there.
Mm. What I know about orienteering, and this is how I know it, is way back when in elementary school, we were sent out with maps and compasses and I was told to find our way up around some scrub willow. I'm trying to relate that experience of orienteering to what you're describing in a canoe. How does that relate?
Well, the big difference that a sort of organized orienteering has, say, Cubs or the military or school and that, is that like in the military, they really emphasize, you know, the drudgery of it and the compass and stuff like that. But in organized orienteering, we have extremely detailed maps, and it's mostly on the map reading and the moving quickly from point to point, knowing where you are all the time. So it's, you know, it's mostly brain work, but you're doing it full speed, too.
Mm-hmm. So in a canoe, then, I gather, or do you have a compass when you're doing this?
Well, I guess if you want to, like, if you're on the Red or Assiniboine River, you know you're either going upstream or downstream, so a compass isn't really going to help you too much.
Are you going across the river?
Yes, you'll be crossing the river from side to side, but in orienteering, it's mostly the map reading, so as you're going along the bank, you'll have a full-color map that shows you what you're passing, and when you get to the right spot, if you're reading that right, you'll know it.
Why in a canoe? Why are you doing this?
Well, I love canoeing. And unfortunately, nobody else will organize a canoe orienteering race, so I have to be the organizer, even though I've got to be a participant. But no, I just, two of the loves of my life are orienteering and canoeing, so I put them together.
I've never heard of that before, though. Is it very common?
Probably not. Canada just happens to be one of the best canoe places in the world, so, you know, it just sort of works for us. There's cross-country ski that's really, really big in Europe, and mountain bike goes really catching on there too, like getting a lot of people. So, you know, we hold those as well. It's just variation.
So you're just combining this map business with these other sports.
Right, it's a variation of a theme, you know, people that like reading maps and doing whatever. It's the same with the adventure or extreme type sport. There's always an orienteering component because it's you get your brain working as well as your body.
When you start orienteering, where's the room for improvement? Is it in the speed? Is it in the reading of the, you know, you raise the eyebrows?
Oh, yeah. No, I started orienteering when I was a very serious runner. And when I first started, I was absolutely terrible because orienteering is about 60% brain power and about 40% running power. So you can run yourself ragged and not get anywhere if you're not reading the map. So, you start off on what we call like the course one or course two, which are simple in terms of the technical ability, and then you work your way up technically, and unfortunately as you get older you sort of work your way down physically, but
you make up or you get wilier, I guess.
Well, I'm actually a better orienteer now at my mid-40s than I was in my 20s, just because I don't make as many mistakes.
Anybody who has traveled, as I have recently, but say somebody who's traveled with somebody else, I'm thinking of all the arguments, fights over maps, you know, that we're going left or right or up or down or who knows what. This is not a pleasurable experience. I mean, some of us are scarred for life when we think about maps and navigation and stuff like that. Can you turn somebody around? Have you ever had that experience of actually turning somebody around?
Well, actually, I would probably say no. Like, what I've seen in terms of orienteering is that when people come out to try the sport, they either love it, they're like bit by a bug, or it just, you know, isn't done. So it's map reading sort of is something that maybe you have an innate skill for or not. So I don't know if I can give you a whole bunch of,
for the hopeless. Is it very common? Are there very many people doing orienteering?
It depends. Like, in Manitoba, we have a core group of about 50, and we have quite a few other, you know, like schools and stuff like that that do it a few times a year. In Alberta, for example, it's quite big. There's thousands. Yukon, if you're actually from Whitehorse, they got some of the best maps in the country. They have a very strong organization there.
Oh.
And
so if they weren't scarred for life, I could do it.
Oh, yeah, that's great up there. But in Europe, it's really, really big. North America is like, we're bad.
Really?
Yeah.
How big?
Big enough that they get 10,000-20,000 people to the meet all the time. Big enough that I think there's only been one North American orienteer to be top 10 in any world-class race in history type of thing. Like, they're good.
Sheesh. This weekend, then, canoe orienteering, how can people take part?
Well, I'd like them to phone me to tell me that they're coming. My phone number is 453-1434. 1434.
Okay.
And it's going to be at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the historic part of the forest that's right across the Red River from the St. Boniface Cathedral. And bring a canoe, bring a partner, and $5, I guess, and I'll set you up with a map and get you started.
Excellent. Well, if it doesn't pour, and it looks like tonight is going to be the worst of it, but you may be okay tomorrow. Good luck.
Thank you.
Have fun. Don Rowe organizing that canoe orienteering session tomorrow at the Fork Downs at 1 o'clock. Show up at the historic part of the river at the banks across from the St. Boniface Cathedral, and $5, bring a canoe, or else I believe there's canoe rental down there, so just make sure that one is available, though, in one way or another. And that number again, 453-1434.